So again, welcome. We're glad that you're here this morning. We are in the midst of a message series that I'm just calling Summer Reads. And what my hope is during this summer is to get some good books into your hands, books that I think are appropriate to where we are as a people, books that I hope will help us to grow in our relationship with God and to grow in our relationship with one another so we might experience the abundant life that God has in store for us. And so beginning last week and really going through the summer, we've got three books that I'm going to walk you through that we're going to use to just dig in and try to become the people that God has both created and called us to be. The first book that we're using is a book by Craig Rochelle called Divine Direction. We still have a couple copies left for sale out in the lobby. And the subtitle of this book, Seven Decisions That Will Change Your Life, looks at the idea that God gives us this amazing gift. The ability to choose, free will, the ability to make decisions that are going to either draw us closer to God or literally will push us away from Him. The next book that we're going to look at in a couple weeks is a book called Talking to God. And the premise of this book is to help us to discover how to talk with God better. The truth is that we could all use something that can help spur us in our prayer life, right? Is there anybody in here that you'd say, man, my prayer life is so good, I do not need to do anything else to make it better? Could I just see the hands of anybody that's there? I don't think so. Because we can all be in this place where we're deepening our relationship with God. You know, there's this amazing passage in 1 Thessalonians that says that we should pray without ceasing. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to walk through that and see how we can, again, deepen our prayer life. And then the third book that we're going to look at is a book that literally just hit the stands on May 16th that's titled Goliath Must Fall. And in this book, we're going to look at what are the Goliaths in our world? What are the giants that we face? What are those obstacles in our way that God wants to conquer? Looking at the fact that we're not David slaying Goliath, but we have Jesus who slays our Goliaths, and how we can tap into the power and the possibilities of God to literally just knock away and knock down those Goliaths in our lives. But today we're in part two, looking at decisions, looking at the direction that we can get from God. The truth is we make decisions all the time, right? You made a ton of decisions already today. Actually, you decided last night whether or not you were going to come here today. You knew what you needed to do last night. You knew what time you needed to get up this morning. You made the decision at least last night whether or not you were coming to church today. And we all make lots of decisions. Well, a decision is simply this. It is a course of action. We could look at lots of definitions, but a decision is just a course of action. And various internet sources have tried to estimate for us how many decisions that we make. Did you know, according to many resources, that the average adult makes 35,000 remotely conscious decisions each day? In contrast to a child that they say makes 3,000 decisions. According to research from Cornell University in 2007, we make over 200 decisions each day just about food, what we're going to eat, what we're not going to eat. But an interesting, more statistics that just recently came out, according to a research stated at Stanford University, this is going to be tough because we got to get our brain around this because I'm going to give you some pretty big numbers. When scientists look at how the brain works and how synapses fire in the brain, it is estimated that we make 8 quintillion 640 quadrillion decisions per day. All of that while using only about 20 watts, or about the average of a dim light bulb. 8 quintillion 640 quadrillion decisions that we make. Again, most of those decisions are totally unconscious. The brain just fires and it makes those decisions for us. And while those numbers might sound outrageous, truth be told, there really is no way that we can accurately determine how many decisions that we make every single day. But what we do know is we make a bunch of them, right? We make a bunch of decisions. In fact, social scientists tell us that we can actually suffer from decision fatigue. Anybody ever get there? Like by the end of the day, you're like, I'm done. I've made too many decisions. I don't want to make another decision today. I am just done because we make so many decisions. Decision fatigue is now understood as one of the causes of irrational trade-offs in decision-making. For instance, did you know that judges in court have been shown to make less favorable decisions the later in the day it gets? Decision fatigue may also lead to consumers making poor choices with their purchases. You want to test that one out? Go to the grocery store when you're tired and you're hungry. And your cart will be filled with stuff that's not good for you. Because you just walk by and you're like, those ding-dongs, those look so good. Yeah. But there is this paradox in that people who lack choices seem to want them and all often fight for them. Yet at the same time, people find that making many choices can be psychologically aversive. Well, I think one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is free will. As a matter of fact, I would say it's not only one of his greatest gifts, I think it's one of the greatest curses that we have as well. Because we have to make lots of decisions, and God just says, hey, I'm going to let you choose that one. I mean, think about it. We decide what to eat, what to wear, what to purchase, what we believe, what job and career choices we will pursue. We choose how we vote, where we spend our time, who we will date and marry. We have to decide what we say and how we say it. We decide whether or not we would like to have children, what we will name our children, who our children will spend time with, and what they will eat. Again, even coming here this morning, you made the decision whether or not you came here. And I hope by the end of this day you will say, and it was a good one, that you're glad that you're here. Because you know, every choice, we say this a lot in our house, every choice has consequences, good and not so good. And as I said, this ability to choose, I think, is an incredible gift and an exciting gift that God has given us. The ability to choose is also an incredible power that God has given us. And we have an obligation to be good stewards of that gift and that power. Because all the accumulated decisions that we make add up over a lifetime and determine the various outcomes. And so in this message series, what I'm really hoping, what I'm really praying for, is that through this book and through the book, God's Word, is that we will be empowered to make better decisions. Decisions that will draw us closer to the heart of God. Decisions that will get us more in sync with the Spirit of God so that we might walk in the ways that God wants us to walk and not in our ways. That we will surrender our will to the will of God. That we would echo what Isaiah says, not my will, O God, but yours be done. So that we might truly walk in the way that leads to life. Well, last week, we talked about the power to become. We talked about the fact that we all have these questions. What does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? We all ask that question, don't we? God, what do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? And so we started kind of as a foundation for this series, the idea that when we become the right who, God will lead us to the right do. When we become the right who it is that God wants us to be, He will lead us into the right do, what he wants us to do. And we discovered that when we're living the right why, it's easier to discern the right what. So when we get this relationship with God right, then what we do is right. Can you say right?
Right.
Right. So the foundation is that when we are becoming the right who, God will lead us to the right do. And when we're living the right why, it's easier to discern the right what. Well, that's the power to become. Today, we're going to talk about how we get there. We're going to talk about wisdom, about the wisdom to discern. And this revolves around this question, will God show me what to do? Will God show me what to do? If I pray, if I ask, if I say, God, what do you want me to do? Is God going to show us what to do? But really, kind of the better question is, how is he going to do that? Will God show us what to do? We've all asked that, right? God, show me. God, tell me. God, light the path for me. God, like, literally close every door and just open the ones that you want me to go through. Would you just show me what to do? Sometimes, as we're going to look at, man, we get a really clear answer, right? And then other times, it might just feel like crickets. And we're like, God, I don't know what to do. So both in the good times and the challenging times, what do? How do we discern God's will for our life? Well, here's what I think, is that God will not always show us what to do, but he will always give us the wisdom to decide. God may not shine the beacon of light saying, go here. Don't go here. He might not always show us, but when we are in this right relationship with God, he will give us the wisdom to decide the right way. Because as I said, free will, the ability to choose, is one of God's greatest gifts to us. But it can also be one of the greatest curses because we don't always make the right decision, right? Our experiences, our habits, maybe addictions, maybe family of origin, maybe distractions, maybe opportunities. You know, it's been said that we live in the Netflix generation, that we become paralyzed because we have so many options, we don't even know what to do. But I believe with all my heart that while God may not exactly show us what to do, he gives us the wisdom to do the right thing, to walk in his ways, to be in sync with his spirit. So how do we do that? What is the roadmap to wisdom? Like, what is the road that we get on? How do we do that? How do we get in this place where we are just living in and discerning the will of God so that we can know and do what it is that God wants us to know and do? Well, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, describes as one of the wisest men of all time. God even said to Solomon, Solomon, you've been so faithful. What do you want? And Solomon said, I just want wisdom. And in Proverbs 4:7, it says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. That's a good word for us, right? Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. And so, in other words, what he's saying is that we should ask for wisdom. God, give me the right wisdom. Give me the ability to make those choices. And then give me the right judgment to make those choices. Help my do to get in sync with who and what you want me to be. And so what I want to give you this morning, I think, are like three really practical ways of how we get on this road to wisdom, how we develop wisdom, how we walk in wisdom, and how we discern what it is that God wants us to do. So the first thing I think that we do is we walk. We walk. All throughout Scripture, we see, even when the Scriptures say that we should wait patiently for the Lord, that is an active thing that we're doing. We're not just going, okay, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to wait. God wants us to be actively engaged with him. And so what we have to do is we have to walk. And I can't think of a better verse than Proverbs 13:20 that talks about this walking in wisdom. And it says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Some of us might need to cut that out and post it somewhere. Because we have surrounded ourselves with fools, and they're leading us astray. That we have got to become wise, that we have to associate with people who are wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with the fools and get into trouble. Greg Rochelle has this amazing saying in his book. He just puts it this way. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Boy, does that like speak volumes? Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. I've just often put it this way. We become like the people we hang out with the most. We really do. Whoever we hang out with, and let's not give ourselves more strength than we think we really have. We become more like the people we hang out with the most than anything else. As a matter of fact, social scientists who like research this stuff says that actually we could pull the five people who we are closest to and we will be a mirror image of them. So we become like the people we hang out with the most. See, the idea is this: it's impossible to live right when you have the wrong friends. That's hard, isn't it? Anybody else think that's hard? It's impossible to live right when you have the wrong friends. Now think about this. If you want to be a great husband, what should you do? You hang out with guys who are great husbands. You want to be an awesome wife? You hang out with women who are awesome wives. You want to be great with your finances? Hang out with people who are great with their finances. You want to become more spiritual? You want a deeper relationship with God? Hang out with people who are on that same journey. See, we've got to hang out with the people in the direction that we want to go. And so if you want to be a great student, who should you hang out with? Great students. If you want to be a great employee, who do you hang out with? Those hardworking employees who show up on time, work hard, and do the best that they can. See, we've got to look at our networks, our social contexts. We've got to look at the people that we surround ourselves with, because we become like the people we hang out with the most, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Because again, what does our writer of Proverbs say? He says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get into trouble. So maybe the one thing that you need to hear this morning, maybe there's some of you here this morning who are looking at that and looking at the relationships in your lives, and what God might be speaking to you right now is to say, I have got to set better boundaries in my life, and I might even need to jettison or set aside some of the relationships in my life. That is not an unloving thing to do. As a matter of fact, that might be the most loving thing that you can do, both for you and for them. Because they might not only be getting you into trouble, you might be perpetuating them staying into trouble. So we've got to figure out who are the people in our lives that are pulling us down, who are leading us away from God. And we need to examine that, and not only just examine that, but we got to say, okay, what do I need to do? Because I'm either growing in my relationship with God, or I'm at the least maintaining, when the reality is we're either growing or we're dying. So maybe there's some of us here this morning that the very first thing that you need to hear, and it might be the reason you're here today, is that you've got to figure out how to walk with the wise and become wise. Because maybe you've been associating with fools and you've been getting into trouble. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because it's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Now, listen carefully. I'm not saying that we should not be witnessing to our friends and our family members and our coworkers and those people around us who don't know Jesus. We are called to do that. We are called that as we are living in our world, as we are living in our work environments, our school environments, our family environment, as we're in that, we are supposed to be sharing Christ with those people. Because if we don't share with them, they might not hear it. But we've got to look at who we hang out with the most and what impact those people are having in our lives. We've got to figure out how to walk with the wise so that we can become wise. So we discover wisdom by looking at the people that we hang out with. That's the first step. The road map to wisdom, secondly, is we ask. We ask God for wisdom. I do this all the time. I'm like, God, I don't know which way to go. God, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do, God? How do I position myself so that I can hear from God? How do I seek the things of God so I can really walk in this path of wisdom? James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Isn't that good news? That God's word says, if you need wisdom, you ask God for it, and he will give it to you. But here's the point. You've got to position yourself to not only hear it, but to do it. Because it's one thing to ask. It's another thing to act, right? So we got to ask God for the wisdom to make the right choices. And here's how this works out. That we have to spend time with God to ask God. Like, if we really want to hear the voice of God, we've got to spend time with God. We got to cultivate and develop that relationship with God so that when I say so that we can ask God, we can always ask God, but if we haven't positioned ourselves in this relationship with God, then we might not hear him. So we have to spend time with God to ask God, because the wisdom of God comes from several sources. And I just want to mention three of them to you. I think wisdom comes from God's word, from Scripture. We refer to Scripture as God-breathed. We believe that the Holy Spirit of God inspired human authors to write everything that's in there, and that it's all true, and that it is for us, so that we might walk in obedience, so that we might discover the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. And so we got to be a people who are reading Scripture, who are digging in to Scripture, who are discovering the great news that we find in Scripture. Because I will tell you from firsthand experiences, while this doesn't usually work, God, what should I do? If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. But where God does speak to me in Scripture is he brings to mind all those places. And it is amazing how there are times where I'm just reading Scripture, and it's like, man, that's exactly what I'm going through right now. So if we want wisdom, we got to be people of the Word, people of God's Word. Scripture itself tells us that it's right, that it's good, that it's powerful, that it is encouraging, that it is correcting. Well, we also find wisdom from other believers, from people in the household of God. I can't tell you how many times I've needed wisdom and I've asked somebody, a believer, who was coming alongside me, who I could say, hey, Ken, what do you think about? Hey, Matt, I'm really wrestling with this. Like, what do you think? Hey, Dave, I'm going through this right now, and I'm kind of not really sure what direction I should go. Hey, honey, that'd be my wife. I don't call anybody else honey, except my kids. Honey, what should we do? Because, see, God places people around us who have great wisdom that can speak truth into our lives. And we've got to surround ourselves with strong believers who can speak wisdom into our lives, who can help us to discern the right direction to go. We also find wisdom that it comes from the voice of God's Spirit. You ever doing something and like a little voice in the back of your head's going, no, 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 no. And you're like, la, 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 and you're just going to do it anyways? You ever have that place where you're like, you're doing something awesome and you just like inside, you're just bubbling up and you just feel like the Spirit of God's going, yeah, that's good. See, I believe that's the voice of God speaking to us. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit, he guides us, he directs us, he encourages us, he teaches us, he rebukes us, he empowers us to live faithful lives. He shines the light of Jesus in our lives so that we might become fully committed followers of Jesus. So wisdom comes, and you might have other places. I think these are three really solid places that we find wisdom in our life. From God's word, from other believers, and from the very voice of God. Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord says, this is the Lord, said not George. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you, and watch over you. You can take that to the bank because it's God's word. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. See, when we walk with God, what this passage tells us is that he will guide us. When we're in this relationship with God, he will just guide us. He will open doors. He will close doors. He will say, come this way. And sometimes he's going to give us a little nudge to get in that direction as well. That God will guide us in the right path to go. But we've got to be in that relationship to fully understand it and to embrace it. But God says, I'll guide you. Just like fix your eyes on me, not on anything else. When do we get ourselves in trouble mostly? When we take our eyes off Jesus and we take them on something else, right? When we let something or someone else be our guide. And the whole time I think God's saying, hey, this way. And there are many times in our lives where we're like, oh, but this looks really good this way. It might not be so good for us. But if we seek wisdom and say, God, would you just guide me? He will guide us. He will also advise you. He will encourage you, and he will rebuke you. He will guide you and direct you, and he will stop you. There have been times in my life where I've wanted to go a certain direction, and I'm like, I'm moving in that direction. And sometimes there are, as I said to our grow group that's meeting on Sunday mornings, sometimes there's just like little speed bumps in our way that God has just kind of placed there so that we can get stronger. Sometimes there are like barricades in our way. Anybody else just like ever bust through a barricade? And it wasn't the one that God wanted you to go through. That barricade was there for a reason. God's like, don't go. Danger. I'll date myself. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. See, y'all laugh and you know who it is, right? So there are things in our lives that God will allow to be in our way so that we'll develop more like fortitude and strength. But there are other things that God will just place in our way that he's like going, no, don't go this way. And if we ask him, he will give us advice. He will advise us through his word, through other believers, through the voice of God. But here's the deal. He will give us the advice. What do we have to do? Take it, right? Take it and deploy it. So he tells us, scripture tells us that God will guide us, that he will advise us, and that he will watch over us. That's really good news because, again, as I said, there are times where we're just going to keep going, even down those paths that God doesn't want us to go. And so he's right there with us going, no, come on. That he will watch over us. And when we stumble, he will pick us up if we will put our eyes back on him. He will pick us up. We will dust ourselves off and we will keep going again. So that's a truth we can take to the bank. If you want wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord will guide you along the best pathway. He will advise you and watch over you. So we walk, we ask, and then we decide. You might call this the pull the trigger step. We decide, we make a decision, we move, we make the decision. Andy Stanley says, direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. And so we've got to make the decision to move. Joshua 22:5 says, love the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways. Obey his commands. Hold firmly to him and serve him with all your heart and your soul. There's a lot of amazing things in there. Love the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Obey his commands. Hold firmly to him. And serve him with all your heart and soul. Craig Rochelle writes on page 19, if you'll open your heart, I believe God will gently lead you step by step decision by decision, perhaps not to the life you've always wanted, but to the life he's always wanted for you. He loves you so much that he lets you choose. But we have to choose. We have to choose. We have to decide what we're going to do. We can walk and we can ask, but we have to decide what we're going to do with that. You see, there are some things that God's word is so clear on, the do's and the don'ts. There are some things that, man, God's word is so clear on that our job is not interpretation. Our job is application, to just do it. And in those cases, what we should do is just walk in obedience. If we do the things that God doesn't want us to do, we set ourselves up for hurt. But if we do the things that God wants us to do, we set ourselves up to be in sync with what God wants for us. And there are some things that God is so clear on, right? Like, walk in obedience. Do this, don't do this. Do things that help your relationship. Don't do things that are going to hinder the relationship. But just as there are certain things that God's word is clear on, there are some things that God's word is silent on. God, what do you... I can't see in Scripture the job that God wants me to have. I can't see in Scripture the woman that God wanted me to marry. I can't see in Scripture some of the other decisions that God wants me to make. So what do we do in those cases? Wisdom. Wisdom. Employing the things that God has already given us. Walk in wisdom. Make the best choice that we can make based on the best things that God has given us. Through listening through his word, listening through other believers, listening through the voice of his spirit. So God gives us the capacity to make really great choices for him if we will choose to do that. Proverbs 28:26 says, "Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe." 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, "Live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy." Wow. Wow. Like, if we aimed for that, what might our lives look like? If we aimed to live our lives in a way that God would consider worthy, what would our lives look like? See, God is not a cosmic killjoy. God wants us to experience the abundant life that he created us for. That he says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his masterpiece. That we are one of a kind, unrepeatable miracles of God, fashioned by the very hand of God, created on purpose for a purpose, knit together in our mother's wombs, that there are no accidents, but we are created in the very image of God. And he has great things in store for us. And we discover those as we lead lives in sync with that. And so what does it mean to live lives in a way that God would consider worthy? The best possible outcome? We are in sync with God and with what he wants. And that is a good place, right? That we are totally in sync with what God... Here's God's will. It is good. And life is awesome. That's the best outcome. What's the worst outcome? We could fail forward. This is the good news for you and me. If you've had a failure in your life, if you're not where you want to be, if you've made some really not great choices, if you got a past that's pretty colorful, here's a word from the Lord. He can help you fail forward. That we don't have to be what we've been, and we don't have to do what we've done. And that is the amazing news of the gospel. That God loves us where we are, but he loves us way too much to leave us there. That we have the opportunity in this walking in wisdom to experience abundant life. But it's our choice that we make. So we can allow our failures to define us and to refine us. Or we can allow those failures to really propel us into a great place into the future. But the choice is ours. I would summarize it this way. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. And when we make decisions for the things of God, we experience the things of God. When we make decisions for the things of this world, we experience the things of this world. And God's word is clear. The things of God are way better than the things of this world. So much so that God has great things in store for us. And so the question that I have for you this morning, as you think about your life, as you think about your experiences, as you think about the people that you hang out with the most, are those things drawing you and driving you into a better relationship with God, or are they holding you back? Or at worst, pushing you away? Again, we're going to come back to the verse we said right at the beginning. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. So God will lead you and guide you and advise you, but you got to let him. Walking in the way of wisdom propels us into the right relationship with God. So are you ready to walk? Because you have that ability to make choices that are going to draw you closer to God or push you away from him. And I promise you, God's word is so clear. The closer we get to God, the better it gets. Let's pray. God, truth be told, sometimes we just don't make very good decisions. That we allow the things of this world to grab us and to hold us captive, to move us in places that are just not good for us. But you give us this amazing gift, this capacity, this ability, this power to make choices, to walk in wisdom, this ability to walk in your ways so that we might experience your blessings and your grace and your abundance. But you say to us, you choose. And so, God, I want to pray that whatever we might be thinking about right now, Lord, I believe that you're just meeting each one of us where we are. And God, you just might really be convicting some of us or maybe encouraging us because we're going in the right direction. But there just might be some of us that we got some things going on in our lives, maybe some people, maybe some situations, maybe some challenges that we've got to shift our focus. And we got to fix our eyes on you so that we might discover the abundant life that happens when we walk in wisdom. And so, God, I pray that you would both encourage us and empower us to walk in your ways that lead to life, abundant and everlasting and eternal, so that we might experience all that you have in store for us, knowing and believing that you created us on purpose for a purpose, that we might be your people and that you might be our God. So Lord, I pray that whatever work you need to do in each one of us, God, that we would give you the freedom to do that, that we would just receive whatever it is that you want to do in us, to rework us, to remold us, to refine us, to maybe just start all over again. And so God, we are so desperately dependent upon you that we need you. We need you more than we even realize. So God, would you just come? Come and help us to be drawn closer to you. We pray that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.